B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
It's Tuesday, so why not make it two for Tuesday with two artists for the price of one on Talkin' Rock? That's what we'll do with Tommy Vex from Bad Wolves up first. Their new record, Nation, comes out this Friday. Of course, we talk about the record. We talk about how those guys are really road dogs and just tour and meet and greet the fans.
There's such a thing as over-touring.
By the way, what does the title of the record mean? Nation, N-A-T-I-O-N.
Oh, we haven't really disclosed that.
Just a couple of short clips for you because Tommy really gets into some of these topics. Up next is drumming legend Vinny Appice. I mean, Vinny's just so great to talk to. I've never had a chance to interview him, but he's really relaxed, really chill. And of course, like I said, a drumming legend. He met one of his fellow drumming legends, and it didn't quite go according to plan.
And yes, I finally met him. I mean, he was one of my heroes, too, you know, and I can't say he was, like, a great guy.
We'll tell you who that is coming up here in just a bit. Plus, we talked about Vinnie Paul. We talked about his favorite Ronnie James Dio record. We talked about Ronnie James Dio and the relationship they had.
Had the same interests, and we got along great. We just hit it off.
It's drumming legend Vinnie Appice from Last in Line and Tommy Vex from Bad Wolves today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Another two for the price of one today in the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. They're going to have to start paying me double for this. Or just simply start paying me. As always, thank you so much for checking it out. No podcast last week, man. I was off in Vegas for half the week. And so we're going to double it up this week again with Tommy Vex and Vinny Appice. And then coming up at the end, I'll tell you who I have coming up for Friday. A great guest. I've already done the interview. It's awesome. You're going to love it. And we'll tell you about that coming up here in just a bit. Had a great time in Vegas, by the way. Saw the Golden Knights. If you get a chance and you're a hockey fan or even not a hockey fan, definitely it's well worth watching the Golden Knights. What a great show and a great spectacle they put on. Speaking of spectacles, had a chance to check out a Chris Angel show while out in Las Vegas. Got a chance to a meet and greet with them. Took my friend Blaz Elias from the band Slaughter with us as well. Chris was nice enough to give him a shout out from the stage at the end, along with Randy Couture, who was there, and a couple guys from the Golden Knights. So that was really cool as well. Got some pictures up on my Instagram, Meltdown WRIF. And of course, or should I say WRIF Meltdown? Meltdown WRIF is my Twitter and Facebook. Yeah, we'll get this squared away. Al Beck usually does the rock news, but not today. We're just too busy. Just have too much going on. He'll return on Friday, hopefully, for the Friday podcast for Talkin' Rock. In the meantime, we'll talk with Vinny Appice coming up here in a bit. Talk about everything that's going on with Last in Line, Ronnie James Dio, John Lennon. He got to play with John Lennon on his last gig. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a few. But first, it's Tommy Vex. The new record drops this coming Friday. Tommy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, bro?
I'm doing good. I just got done with chest day, leg day. No, I didn't. I was playing hockey. I'm just kidding, man.
you did them at the same time. I was like, well, hockey is like a chest day, leg day. Only, well, it's like an arm day, too, but only if you get into a fight.
That's right. And I don't want to do that at 5'6". But, yeah, so anyways, how's things going, man? You're fired up about the new record coming out this week?
Yeah, man, it's very exciting. We're in the studio right now getting ready for a tour. We've got production and we've got all kinds of stuff. I bought a 30-foot giant blow-up unicorn. Now, hopefully, we're able to use it on tour.
What would that be used for?
Oh, crowd surfing.
Crowd surfing. Okay, there you go. Just like when Diamond David Lee Roth used that big, gigantic microphone that he crowd surfed on with all the security guys holding it. You're probably a little too young for that that little trick, but do you remember that?
I do remember that. I did not see it live because I was not allowed to go to the concert, but I do.
Well, I had that pleasure. Hey, before we get into the new record, the winter tour is looking pretty good for you guys with Five Finger Death Punch and Megadeth, right?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be pretty epic. So we're doing two tours with Five Finger. We're in the U.S. with Five Finger, 3 Days Grace, and Fire from the Gods. And then after Christmas, we go to Europe with Five Finger and Megadeth.
Oh, okay, that's after that.
We're touring forever. It's going to be great.
Well, you know, I was going to say here, I got one of the things written down here, man. It's like, you know, you guys are road dogs. There's other bands out there like the Shinedowns and the Godsmacks and like that, where those guys, you guys go out and you pound away in the road and you meet the fans. And that's kind of, I mean, that's got to be a big part of the success of Bad Wolves.
Yeah, well, I mean, bands got to tour, you know. I mean, we go in the studio and write all these songs so we can play them for people. So some people don't like it, but I think there's such a thing as over-touring. But, you know, a lot of, I think it's just like if you're like, once you become a pickle, you can never go back to being a cucumber. And so, like, some people, like, we're like music addicts, you know, so... It's just what we do.
Well, that this interview took a turn for the worse. I didn't think it was going to go there, but hey, let's talk about the new record. A Nation comes out on Friday. So far, from what I heard, I've talked about this with a bunch of artists, but every record's personal. But how personal is this album?
I mean, there's a lot of songs that are personal on this record. You know, I think in On Disobey, things started to open up a little bit with, you know, obviously with tracks like Zombie and Remember When. On the new album, there really is a lot of conversation about issues, you know, such as like Sober is a really important song to me because it's not just about, you know, the first person. Who's the addict, alcoholic, going through the process of getting sober. It's about how alcoholism and addiction affects the family as a whole. Because it's alcoholism and addiction is a family disease. And it's like, no one ever talks about like what the moms and the dads and the sisters and the husbands and wives and, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends and friends and employers go through when you're going through the process of killing yourself with drugs and alcohol. And so we have songs like that. We have songs like Crying Game, which is a song that John wrote that's a very, like, really about an interpersonal relationship that he had from the past that he really had to do a lot of work to move through. Killing Me Slowly, Better Off This Way. Even Fuller Friend is a song about my experience in the witness protection program after my brother tried to kill me and I testified against him. He had hired someone to murder me, and I actually pulled the audio tapes from the court case.
Wow.
And they're in the song. Yeah, so it's like really intense. Like it's kind of a no holds barred record.
So what's the relationship between you and your brother now? Is he still around?
My brother's in prison. He's doing 20 years for attempted murder.
All right, there you go. So, you know, I think about this with you guys. You guys are really, a hopeful band, aren't you? When fans listen to this record, you probably want to give them a little bit of hope as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what music is supposed to do. I talk about issues that I have experience with, and... You know, at the end of the day, it's like, it's really about, you know, I think my favorite artists of all time were always very raw and transparent about their personal struggles. And what happens when you do that is when you have the courage to do that, you subconsciously give other people the courage to do the same thing. And all of a sudden what happens is that it takes a lot of the pain out of it, and people start to realize like they're not the only ones and that their struggle is not terminally unique. And that's the power of music for me.
Well,
you know, I would go to see, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying like, there's records like Korn's first record or like Far Beyond Driven by Pantera. And I remember being a kid and going to those shows and like feeling so isolated in the things that I had experienced because I thought I was the only one. And then being amongst so many people who felt the same way I did, that I didn't have to be alone anymore. And even though I was in a room full of strangers, I wasn't alone. And that like got me through a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, you're one of the more open books of people I really talk to, and you've got quite a history and quite a story that you share every time we talk, and it comes out in your music as well. The new record, Nation, comes out this coming Friday. This might be a stupid question. I'm not sure if you've been asked this before or if I just missed this somewhere, but what does Nation stand for? You got the N-A-T-I-O-N.
Oh, we haven't really disclosed that. It's like, it's Nation basically for us is like, It means our fan base. So it's kind of like we kind of took this from the Raiders, actually, because the Raiders have Raiders Nation. Mm. And we're like, you know, their whole kind of our fan base on a worldwide network are like people who would not normally mix. Like there's all different kinds of people. You know, so we have age groups from little kids to older people and everyone in between, every race, people from backgrounds of all different kinds of religions, like, or no religion, you know, and you know, that's what I think the transparency in the message kind of pulls people together, and it shows that no matter what your background is, you might be going through the same thing, and it makes the world a little bit closer, even though, you know, for us it's interesting because I see the internet and like social media as this device that's supposed to connect people, but I feel like it's like repelled people, or it has kind of isolated people because the way that everyone is perceiving each other, we're not like vulnerable. We're all projecting to be something more, you know, or less than we are. And, you know, I think people need connectivity, and I think that's what's great about this genre of music. If you and somebody else have the same t-shirt of a band, you're like, you're kind of in the same crew.
Right. <You know? laughs> That is true. I know they're going to cut me off here because my time is running out here, but good luck on the record, Nation. Hopefully this pushes you guys into the headline spot. That'd be nice to see. I saw you guys over the summer opening for Pop Roach. The show was so good. Final thing here for you, Tommy. Good. I'm writing a blog next week for Halloween. What are your top three horror characters? Like, you know, Jason, Freddy, that kind of thing. What would your top three be?
Top three, I would say, so there's a character called Nyx from Clive Barker's In the Mouth of Madness. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Clive Barker's Lord of Illusion. And this dude, Nyx, is like a cult leader. Then he gets killed, but they bring him back from the dead. But he's like a really bad dude. Like, he's like real. He's bad. And he's like, his character is just very like, he's just like insane. So that'd be three. Let's see, who else? Man, I don't know. Norman Bates. That's a classic.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Norman Bates Psycho was utterly terrifying when I was a little kid.
you got a last one. Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. You know, Alfred Hitchcock was one of my favorites as a kid. Like, you know, you ever see the movie Birds from Alfred Hitchcock?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was horrifying. So let's go with all birds.
Hey, Tommy, man, always great to talk to you. Good luck with the Record Nation comes out this Friday, and we do appreciate the time, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks, boss.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Up next, drumming legend Vinny Appice. Today in the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast, I think the first time I saw Vinny play live was with Ronnie James Dio around 86 or so, which I bring up in the interview with Vinny coming up here in just a few minutes. Of course, Last in Line, just saw him back in, I want to say March or April or something like that, and something happened that night, which is one of the most nerve-wracking things I've done in my career, which we'll talk about here in just a couple minutes. But Vinny's great to talk with. I had a chance to meet him super briefly before they went on stage last time I saw him. But it's just actually, I met him back in the day with Ronnie James Dio, which we also talk about. In the meantime, here is Vinny Appice as we talk about the tour that they're involved with right now and how things are going on the road with UFO.
Everything's going great. We're doing a bunch of shows with UFO, and then the other half of the shows are just us. And it's going great. Really, really, really great audiences and full houses and stuff. So exciting.
Yeah, that's great. Cool. Yeah, the guys from UFO, of course, celebrating their 50th anniversary on this tour, right?
That's right, yeah. I think this is the last tour. That's why it's called Last Orders.
Oh, is that right? Now they're celebrating their 50th year. How many years have you been drumming professionally? Because you started super early in your life, didn't you?
Yeah, I started in like 1976 with Rick Derringer. And so how many years?
it's more 50, than I've been doing it. Yeah, exactly. So
53 years. Yeah.
So now wait a second. So you started with Rick Derringer in 76. I thought that you played a gig in 75 with John Lennon, or was that after that?
That was in 75. So yeah, if you count that, that's the big one too. So since 75, it's been with the big guys. Yeah.
Now, so that was people may or may not know, but that was John Lennon's, which you didn't know at the time, was his last gig, right?
Yeah, I found that out in a magazine called Guitar Aficionado about 3 or 4 years ago, and they had a big article about that gig and a picture of us, and it said this was John's last live performance. I went, what? I got to play his last gig? Kid from Brooklyn. I was like 16, 17 years old, you know.
Oh, my God. And for people that don't know, did your parents let you get leave school, or did you kind of just do that just to kind of chase your dream?
Well, my parents let me do that because Carmine came before me and he was successful, and they saw that, you know, you can make a good career out of this. It's something that could happen. So it was easy for me to say, look, I just want to play the drums, you know. I don't want to go to school anymore, because I was playing with John Lennon at night and then going into high school in the day. So it was like my mind wasn't on school, you know.
I can imagine.
So they let me quit. Yeah.
Man. So what? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but then years later, I went back and got the GED just to have it, you know, just for, what the hell.
I got you, yeah, to make the parents happy. So, do you remember the first time you met John Lennon?
Yeah, we did. We were managed by the Record Plant Studios in New York, and our good friend was Jimmy Iovine, who produced John. And we used to rehearse there all the time. And one night, Jimmy called and said, can you guys come up and do some hand claps? And it was a big band. We had 4 horn players. So it was 9 of us. We went up to the studio, and we didn't know who we were doing hand claps for. And then we walk in the room, and there's John in the control room. We freaked out. And the song was Whatever Gets You Through the Night.
Man, that
and
is crazy.
Then he's talking to you over the headphones. I mean, come on. You know, after all the years of hearing him in, you know, on TV and whatnot, records, and now he's talking to me on the headphones.
Wow. I was trying to think as I was preparing to talk to you today what that would be the equivalent of nowadays, and I can't even think. I was trying to think of what it'd be the equivalent of nowadays, and I can't even think of anybody in 2019, because the Beatles had broken up 5 or 6 years previous to you meeting them, and they were so huge and so gigantic. I can't even think of anything that even matches that nowadays.
I know. It's just, especially John, you know, he's just a total legend. And, you know, it was like, at the time I did it, obviously he was still alive for quite some time after that. And so it was a big deal, but now it's really a big deal when you think back of it, you know. And then when we did, when I joined Sabbath, we went into a studio in England to record The Mob Rules for the movie Heavy Metal. Mm. And that house was owned by John. he passed already, and that's where he did the Imagine video. And they gave out the rooms, and I got John's room, John and Yoko.
Man, that is so cool. Yeah, you've had such a storied career. And I have to admit, when you guys came back through town earlier this year, somewhere along the line, one of the local guys said to your tour manager, hey, why don't you guys let Meltdown introduce you on stage? I didn't say that. And so the tour manager's like, oh, that's a great idea. So he walks back and talks to you guys, and I happen to be standing there, and you guys were all really nice. And it's like, and so I have to go on stage and introduce you guys. And I don't know if you remember this, but the curtain was closed, and all you guys were standing behind me. And I've been on stage a lot of times in my 30-year career, but that was one of the most nervous I've ever been on stage because all you guys were behind me.
No, really? Oh, man. Sorry about that. Oh, no. That's we're nice guys, so you shouldn't be nervous.
No, you guys are nice guys. No, it was great. It was awesome. Vivian was just about to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so has he held that over your heads a little bit?
No, he's very, very modest, and it's just a cool thing, you know. We're all so happy for him that happened.
No
time too, you know. With
yeah.
That band.
No, that's great. He's been with them for so long, and like you said, you guys are really nice guys. It was a really cool and honor to do that for you guys that night. So you guys are coming through town here. You got your. Are you guys now? Tell me about the new Last in Line stuff. Is this stuff done? Where does that stand?
Yeah, the album came out in February of this year. It's called Last in Line 2, and it's a great album. It's even a little bit more progressive than the first album. Sounds great sonically, and it's been getting, you know, really good reviews, and it's doing well. So we play a few more songs from that album into the first, and then the first album, and then all the Dio classics. So we got a good mix of a set now. Really good.
All right, because I thought you guys were working on a third album.
Well, we are. We got together for a couple of weekends in Vegas, and Def Leppard was doing a residency and at Hollywood, so it was a good time to get together, you know, three days in a row and write some stuff. And we did that, and we got a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, we're going to start working on further when we get together again. Right now, we're on the road for a while to the end of the year.
Okay.
Stuff sounded great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, the third record. I know you guys put that record out earlier this year, and Jeff Pilson produced that record. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, the second one, we kind of split the production. We did our bit on it, and so that's the way it was credited as such. But Jeff's great, you know, great producer, great friend too.
Yeah, and of course you worked with him back in the Dio days. I was thinking about this earlier as well. Could you be the person who spent the longest tenure with Dio in his career?
Probably yes. Because we were together from 1980. Then that was with Sabbath, then all the way to probably 86, 87, you know, and then I came back 91 with Sabbath and Roddy, and then again, and we went to Dio after that, and then again with Heaven and Hell. So I definitely was the only guy that played with them in all the bands. You know.
Yeah. No, I was. Go ahead.
Yeah, Sabbath and Dio. No, just Sabbath and Dio.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to meet him on the bus with you in 1994 when you guys were doing a tour and stuff, and he was just the nicest guy. And a friend of mine had actually recorded some stuff with him, and that's how he invited us up and different things like that. But I only met him for a brief, 15 minutes or something like that. And so I asked Simon Wright. I'll ask you the same thing. What do you tell people that Dio was like?
Well, you know, with me. You know, we were like really tight, you know, kind of like brothers when I met him. We had the same interests, and we got along great. We just hit it off. And with everything else, he loved his music. He loved his fans. And he just really, really adored the fans. He remembers people's names. unlike me, who forgets everything with names. But, you know, you can meet him and then meet him the next year, and he'll remember your name. It's like, wow. And he really, really, like one of the first times with Sabbath, we're playing arenas in the winter, and we finished the show, getting a limo to leave. Limo pulls up, pulls out of the venue, and then there's a gate, and there's all fans there. So he made the limo driver stop so he can get out and sign all his autographs and take pictures with them. And I followed him. I went, wow, how cool is that? You know, it's cold out, and it just went to the hotel, but instead he didn't want them just to wait there for nothing. So pretty cool.
Yeah, Lizzie Hale told me a story, which I've talked about before, where she said Dio once told her, you'll never remember the names of their faces, but they'll always remember you and always be nice to all your fans.
Yeah, you know, people remember more when you're an asshole to somebody. You know, you meet them, somebody you look up to or you're a fan of, and then they treat you horribly, and you remember that, you know? And then they also remember when you probably remember more when you're nice. Go, man, this is really cool. Guys really are nice guys, and they really care. So, yeah, I learned from him, you know, to take care of the fans.
Yeah. What do you think is your favorite album that you played with Dio?
Oh, for sure, Holy Diver. I mean, it just became a rock classic, legendary album. Yeah, we didn't know. We were just having fun making it. Yeah, and it was a fun time, and any idea, we tried. We were wide open, and it was a crazy time, and we were just having a good time with the new band, and put together an unbelievable album later on. It's still going. Amazing.
You know, you answered that question really fast, like I'm sure you've been asked before, but and you say, like, you know, that was like really the epitome. But I mean, Dio just, and yourself had just gotten out of Black Sabbath and stuff, so you must have known that something was going to pop off that record. You couldn't have gone into it totally blind to the fact that that you guys had a big following, right?
Well, you know, Sabbath was a built-in following. You know, Ronnie joined Sabbath, and then the Heaven and Hell album put them back on the map. So it was huge again. And then when we started, we didn't know. Yeah, we knew there was some built-in success because of Ronnie and his career and both of us coming out of Sabbath. But we just thought, yeah, it should do good, you know. But it did great, you know. We didn't, you know, when the album came out, we watched it climb the charts. We were playing theaters, and then all of a sudden, like 4 months later, we're playing arenas. It was an exciting time, but, you know, the rock business was totally different then. So, yeah, so then, you know, well, we just make the music. We don't know, you know, oh, this is going to be huge, you know. We know it's good, but we don't know what to expect for sure. But we knew we had something good, for sure.
Right. Now, so with Sabbath and Dio, you're in your, like, early 20s and stuff, and you're touring, and you're, you know, a big-time rock star playing all these festivals, and, you know, I'm sure in, like, arenas and whatnot. Did you have a hard time not getting sucked into the rock star lifestyle, or did you?
No, I didn't really get into that, you know, because I look at it, I'm more of a musician, and that's my job in this band, to be part of this band and play the drums in it. So I look at it more as that way than, oh man, limos, let's do some drugs and party and stay up all night. I mean, there was some of that, of course. I didn't really do drugs. I just smoked a lot of pot. And so that's why I took care of myself. So I'm still going, you know. And my body's in good shape, and I can still kick some ass on stage. So,
well, there's no question about that.
But it's easy to fall in. Yeah. Easy to fall into that stuff, you know.
And then
you fall into it like this is going to be the rest of your life, and it's not true in the music business. Very few people maintain a level of success for, you know, 15, 20 years. I mean, you know, that's amazing.
Right. How much did your brother play into the fact of keeping you on the straight and narrow, or was it pretty much just you kind of you're just kind of wired that way?
Well, I'm kind of wired that way. The whole family was. We grew up in a pretty loving family. My father didn't drink or smoke. My mother didn't drink or smoke. The whole family was pretty, like, straight ahead, you know, and very aggressive in wanting to succeed. You know, my sister had her own CPA firm. My other brother, older brother, Frank, he went into a different business, did really, really well. So the whole family was a go-getter, you know, and there was no drugs or no problems growing up. So kept me straight. And Carmine was pretty much, you know, more or less straight and very wise with money and all that stuff. So that, he was a great example, you know, for me.
Mm-hmm. What is he up to on nowadays?
Well, he's doing the Vanilla Fudge. They're still doing gigs. And then him and I are doing, we do a show together and just an evening with Carmine and Vinny. And lately we've been doing some that the first half of the show is rock history, where we talk about all the stories we have and people can ask questions. And then we have a band and then we get out and play, you know, 6-7 songs. So, and then we have the show where we just do a whole rock show. We have another, you know, the same band and we do maybe 14 songs from our histories. And it's a great show, very high energy and really cool. And, very, very, it's very, very high energy with the drums, you know, kick each other's ass pretty much.
Yeah, that reminds me, have you seen, have you ever watched the Godsmack drum solo they do on stage?
I've seen that a long time ago. That was incredible. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, those guys are so good. That's killer, though. But, you know, whenever I talk to somebody like yourself, like that has siblings in this business and has made a career out of it, it reminds me of a guy who plays professional sports or whatever, and his brothers do as well. I mean, the odds that happen are astronomical.
Yeah, I know. And it's like there's not many brothers in the business, and like Van Halen is guitar and drums. But we both play the same instrument, so that's odd, you know, that we play the same instruments. But there's a, you know, Carmine's 11 years older than I am, so it's two different eras, so we couldn't really play together that much in the early days, you know. I was too young, so it's you know, we got when we play together, it's like we sound like one monster drummer and then we fly off on our own style, so it's really, you know, we have distinct styles also, but the feel is there.
Now, Ginger Baker just passed away. Did you know him at all?
I got to meet him at a rock fantasy camp I did, and he was there. And, yes, I finally met him. I mean, he was one of my heroes, too, you know. And I can't say he was, like, a great guy. He was what I expected, you know. Everybody expected of him. He's pretty... I don't know what the word is.
I heard he's kind of crotchety. Crotchety. I never met him, but that's what I heard. I don't know if that's true. So,
yeah, that's it.
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
And his son, I met his son a couple times. Not a couple times. We did a whole tour together, actually. Coffee Baker. He's a sweetheart. Really good guy. Pretty good drummer too.
Yeah, I you know, you just talked about, you know, how you and your brother both play drums and not like drums and guitars like, you know, Van Halen. Did you know Vinnie Paul at all?
Yeah. Actually, Vinnie and I met a long time ago, and then we discovered that my middle name is Paul, and his obviously middle name is Paul, and his last name is Abbott. Mine's Appice.
Yeah.
So we had almost the same driver's license, you know. We used to laugh at that. Yeah, that's unreal.
God, I knew Vinny and pretty well, and man, that was a sad day when we lost him. And you know, I don't know, you guys are both kind of reminiscent of the same kind of style. I mean, I'm not a musician, so maybe I'm totally off on this, but do you see it or no?
Yeah, kind of with the same kind of music, although they probably. Vinny played a little more heavy music with Pantera,
right?
And he used double bass, and I used single bass. But we both slam it, you know. We have that in common, and so you could say it's kind of similar, you know. And I got to play with Rex Brown in the band called Kill Devil Hill.
That's right.
Yeah, so we have that in common also. Rex is a cool dude. Great guy.
I noticed that this rock world gets a little bit smaller the longer you're in it. You must feel that too.
Oh yeah. I mean, you start doing these, like, shows or festivals like in Europe, and you go there and you know everybody, you know, and a lot of guys are from L.A. You know, you go, come all the way here to Germany, and there's like five bands from L.A. And then we know the people from Europe, you know. So, yeah, you make friends, you know.
Yeah, there's no question. Do you see a day when you hang up the drumsticks, or is that so far away you don't even think about it?
Yeah, I don't think about it right now. I mean, everything's going good, and I'm having fun. This band's fantastic to play with. Great band, we get along, and it's a lot of fun. So you gotta have fun. That's why Holy Diver was so successful. So we had a lot of fun making that record. We were all crazy back then.
So, well, you know, like I said, yeah. I was listening to Last in Line saying that record for me is just so great. But all those records you played on with Dio, I was just in that era, I was discovering all this music for the first time, and I was just a kid. You know, I was like 12 or 13 years old when this stuff came out. And so it was really like a big stamp on my childhood. And I saw the tour in like, I don't know, 85 or 86 or whatever it was. It was one of my first concerts, you know, and it was just so great and to see all that stuff. But, man.
Yeah, yeah. And it influenced a lot of people. And but especially the Holy Diver record, you meet people that, you know, like Dave Grohl, and you know, he said, "Man, that record, man, the drum fills on it," and you know, it's inspiring. He said they went into Sound City to record their album because they saw Holy Diver platinum record on the wall.
Really?
and they decided to record there too. Yeah. So, and yeah, so it's pretty amazing to see what influence you have. Not only on the fans, but on musicians when they were young, coming up, you know?
Yeah, and like, just talking to you, I remember, you know, Jack Black has that whole thing with Dio and all this stuff, you know, and it's like there's so many guys that were influenced, like you said, by that. Now, did you see the Sound City documentary that Dave did?
Yeah, I'm in it for a little bit.
Oh,
not much.
Okay, I'll have to rewatch it again. Yeah. I don't recall that, but yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, there's a little interview, and they show me playing for a minute. So I'm not in it much, but I'm in it.
Yeah,
I went to Dave's studio to record it and do the interview. But so
that is so killer. Well, I'll tell you what, Vinny, it's always great to touch base, and thanks again for letting me introduce you guys. As much as, you know, I've been on stage in front of 40,000 before Metallica. I was more nervous introducing you guys that night because you were all standing behind me. So,
Well, you can, if you come into the show on Sunday, you can do it again if you want to.
Hey, I'll be there. Rob DeLuca from UFO is a friend of mine, so I'm going to go see him, and I love hanging out. You know, you guys were so nice and welcoming, and it's so great that, you know, you guys are all doing this. So what do you think Ronnie James Dio would think about these Dio bands?
Well, I think he'd be proud that we're doing a great job, and our vocalist Andrew Freeman is just knocking everybody's socks off. You know, he's not trying to sound like Ronnie, but he just sings from his heart and soul the way Ronnie used to sing, and he just tears it apart on these songs, you know. So I think he'd be real proud of everybody, especially Andrew.
And now you guys are busy enough, but isn't Andrew going off to record and maybe and join Lynch Mob as well?
Yeah, we have time off, he goes out with Lynch Mob. He's played with George a long time ago. He started with George. Actually, I played on one of the tours. It was Andrew and I and George. I don't know what year that was. That's how I met Andy, so... so now he's going to sing on George's next record too, and you know, this is the days of multitasking. People are in multiple bands, you know. Unless you're in a giant band that you know, keeps you busy. This is what tends to be the new norm. You know?
Well, I hear you there. Well, we'll see you this coming Sunday at Diesel Concert Lounge with UFO as they celebrate their 50th anniversary, and I'll definitely come up and say hello. And Vinny, thanks so much for the time. Safe travels. Yeah. We'll see you this weekend.
Let me, let me know when you get there. And then also we have VIP tickets available on our website too, which is a cool thing. We let people in for the sound check.
Oh, and you know what? You guys do something that I've never seen another band do, which I think is so killer. You guys sign all the set list before you take to the stage, and the fans can take home the set list, and it's autographed. I've never seen another band do that. That's so cool.
Well, actually, they buy it, but it's only $5. But it was just a fluke. We had a whole bunch of set lists and one of the gigs, and I said, hey, let's just sign them and see if we can sell them. What the hell? That's a nice souvenir, too. So we all hand-signed every one of them. We put them out, and they all sold. We went, holy shit, that's unbelievable. You know, so people like them. So, yeah, and it doesn't cost much for us, and it's cheap and a nice souvenir to bring home.
I thought you guys had signed the ones that were on the stage on the deck there, and I thought that fans could just take them. But you sell them at the merch table then after the show. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we do that, and then fans do take the ones off the stage, and we wind up signing those if they see us somewhere, you know, after the show, then we'll sign them.
Absolutely. Okay.
But now we have laminated ones, so we could use them every night, same set list.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
Pain in the ass with paper, so.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Hey, Vinny, once again, man, thanks so much for the time. We'll see you this weekend, and safe travels. Thanks, man.
Thank you, D-Day. Take care.
See you,
bye-bye.
Man. Vinny Appice and Tommy Vex from Bad Wolves today on the Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast. Two great conversations. Hopefully you guys dug that and get some content out of that and see what these guys are really like. Just two really nice guys. Had a chance to meet Tommy a bunch of times. And Vinny, like I said, I've met him a few times here and there. Always seemed really nice and personable. Hey, coming up on the podcast this coming Friday, John 5, of course, from Rob Zombie, Marilyn Manson, David Lee Roth. I made some news in the podcast about a month ago talking to David Lee Roth about what happened to the record that they recorded together. And Dave talked about it. As a matter of fact, the reason I asked him about the record was because I texted John 5 and I said, hey, dude, can I ask, Dave about this record you guys recorded? He responded, sure, why not? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, why not? So anyways, that was a killer interview with Diamond Dave. If you get a chance, go back and check that out. But John did listen to that interview, and he responds to it coming up Friday and talks about his time with Dave and, you know, all that kind of stuff. We talked about, of course, the zombie machine that it is, Rob Zombie's new movie, Three from Hell, just all sorts of different things. He actually won a guitar when he was a kid, and it was autographed by a world-class famous guitar player who's now one of his friends. We talk about that and just a lot of stuff with John 5 coming up on a Friday. Hey, if you get a chance, subscribe. You can leave me a voicemail as well with your feedback, 248-586-2988. And as always, a big thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.